book's kind of your nugget that's coming out.
So tell us
a little bit more about what that is.
I'm just a big believer that if you are a winner of what I call the ovarian lottery, which I learned on a mission trip in Nicaragua, which is part of the introduction to the book, you ought to go do something with the knowledge that you do have.
Sure.
You ought to go make the biggest impact that you can in the pursuit of helping others. So I make the argument that if we really want to reach our potential, there's a point, there's a breaking point where personal gain stops. And in order to reach our real potential, grow past maybe something that's uncomfortable, we have to have on the other side of it the fact that we're going to change people's lives and help people. Otherwise, why would you go through the pain?
Welcome to another episode of the Short Term Pro Podcast. My name is Vernon Corum, and I'm here in the beautiful East Tennessee area. I'm actually today in downtown Knoxville at the Knowledge Gap Studios, recording this podcast live and in person with the guy who owns this place and kind of runs this place. Been excited about this one for a little while. Joe and I have been working together. He's been helping me with my offers and some of my coaching and helping me kind of get my ideas together. And so I'm really excited today about having you today, Joe. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. I don't want to slaughter your last name. I know how to say it, but I want to make sure you say it today.
Yeah. My name's Joe Ignis. I'm from a little town. Well, not that little, I guess, but Johnson City, Tennessee. There's a little town called Gray. That's really where I grew up. But I went to the University of Tennessee, graduated about 4 or 5 years ago, 2018, 2019, the December. And then I did 7 years of door-to-door sales after that, ran a large sales organization in two different states, and was one of the youngest sales managers of all time at the company when I was 24. And then I started a fitness company after I left that job last October, about 13 months ago, and then started the Knowledge Gap company in January due to my realtor, Brandy Light, at the time, asking me to help her start a podcast. And 10, 11 months later, I worked with over 30-something business owners, realtors, people like Vernon to help them grow their business, optimize their revenue, build better systems, sales training, all that kind of fun stuff. So now we're here.
It's great. Yeah, you got a pretty busy life. I'm looking at your calendar in front of us here. It's kind of wild. It looks a lot like mine.
Yeah.
So, you know, you teach people basically how to be you.
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, in essence, it really is. I mean, because, I mean, really, you're teaching people kind of what you're already doing. So tell us a little bit about that process. Tell us a little bit about, you know, where, how you got here. I know your success story with your sales and everything, but tell us a little bit about how you got here to where you wanted to teach others and mentor others.
This is a great question. I don't know. Like, where does it all start? Well, I'm a Christian, so, you know, it comes back to just, I don't know, God and people. So in the Bible and in my faith, and I believe what Jesus talks about is just all, like, the only important things in life are God and people. So, you know, I've just always wanted to position my life in a way that's impactful to others. So, you know, if you make money, you know, helping others and adding value, that's great. So I think one of the skill sets and talents that God's given me throughout, you know, my life is just being able to be a leader and help inspire other leaders. That's where I'm really drawn to. I'm just a big believer that if I help other leaders, which in this case is business owners, I think business owners meet more people than anyone in the world. So wanting to inspire those people and see them be successful means I'll touch more people because they're going to talk to more people than most people do in their lives. And so, you know, where that all comes from is I used to, you know, when I was selling books door to door with the Southwestern Company, I used to, you know, mentor hundreds of college students, essentially. You know, I personally recruited about 43, and my job was to help them be successful in life, which would help them be successful in sales, you know, because they're not two different things. It's hard to be successful in business if your life's kind of a mess. What I do now, some coaching on schedule and different, and how to be organized and how to set your goals and all these different things. And as I went through that, I ended up talking about 2,000 or 3,000 students through that recruiting process, through doing speeches in front of and these little mini workshops that we called info sessions, where we would inspire people, teach them about how to be successful in life. You know, that would be kind of our top of funnel into the recruiting process. And amongst all those students, they always seem to have similar struggles of what's my purpose and what I want to do. And I'm about to be an author. I guess when this is coming out, I'll be an author.
Right,
the recording of this, I'm about to be an author.
Yes.
This book called The Problem with Potential, How to Stop Overthinking and Get Out of Your Own Way. And I would go through the recruiting process with people, and I would see them really struggle with the idea that they could be successful. They just didn't believe in themselves. You know, they would just have this self-fulfilling prophecy that they would become average. And it was just heartbreaking, because I would meet people that I was like, oh, you're a better communicator than I was when I started this, and I was a top rookie.
Sure.
You could do this. Mm-hmm. And I'd see people talk themselves out of it. They would, mm-hmm. you know, door-to-door sales has this stigma around it that, mm-hmm. like, it's going to be the worst job in the world, right. you know, and maybe your first few weeks it is the worst job in the world, mm-hmm. but you end up getting better, and there's, you can turn that job into something that's really enjoyable for you right. if you have a purpose and drive and a heart for helping others, mm-hmm. you know. I got to a point where I had 59% of people let me in their house. Mm-hmm. That's right. not the same job no. as the average door-to-door right. salesperson.
Sure.
You know, and why did that happen? Well, it happened through great mentorship and great training at Southwestern, but it also happened in developing this desire to make people smile and mm-hmm. make people laugh,
right.
you know, and seeing the bigger picture than that. And so, mm-hmm. But I saw people really struggle with that, and they would just overthink it. They would be like, well, you know, door-to-door sales, it's a thing that doesn't work, mm-hmm. and, you know, whatever. And they'd be listening to their parents who have no information, and they'd be talking to their friends. It wouldn't be a cool thing, sure. you know. But I knew the kids that were successful at this did really well in life, because mm-hmm. if you can go be successful at one of the hardest things, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can be successful at anything. It's like if you're a Navy right. SEAL, like, and you go through BUDS, like, you're going to be successful. Like, it's,
sure.
it's just so mentally difficult, right? Mm-hmm. So then throughout that, the summers, you know, I went and talked to over 20,000 families, mm-hmm. you know, and the same problems mm-hmm. existed. Sure. It was all internal. Like, the only limit I saw that people were having was coming from themselves, mm-hmm. and then they would blame external circumstances.
Sure.
You know, and I'm a big believer that life's 10% what happens, 90% how you react to it. Mm-hmm. It's your situation is not like limiting. It's right. it's really not the thing that's going to hold you back in life, right? Mm-hmm. But I'd meet all these 20,000 families, right? And this is interesting too, just a mm-hmm. stat, right? So the average, depending on what study you look at, the average person meets 10,000 to 80,000 people in their lifetime.
Wow.
Okay, so let's just assume the 80,000, because I really mm-hmm. don't know sure. how they manage these mm-hmm. stats or whatever. Right. But let's say it takes you 100 years on average nowadays to, you know, meet 80,000 people. Mm-hmm. You know, I met 22,000 people in 7% of the time over 7 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and so you can, when you meet all those people in such a quick, you know, amount of time, you just start, it's very glaringly obvious, mm-hmm. you know, how life works.
Right. Absolutely.
you know,
absolutely.
You've sped up your time horizons, you know. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm meeting all these people and I'm really understanding like their situations, you know, you're meeting really nice, you know, impoverished people, you're mm-hmm. meeting really rude, rich people, mm-hmm. you're meeting really amazing rich people. You're meeting everything right. in between socioeconomically, belief-wise. Mm-hmm. There's people who treat you well, who, you know, aren't Christians. There's Christians mm-hmm. who talk about you badly on Facebook. Right. It's just so sure. interesting the amount of things that you see, but it was always the same thing of that everyone was limited by themselves, not their circumstances. Mm-hmm. About 21 or 22 months ago in a March, I was up in Michigan on a recruiting event. I wanted to do a book. My wife had written a book just right before called Lily's Story. So she's a social worker and she wanted to support foster kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that book is 100% goes towards helping kids in the foster care system. We like right. buy like Christmas presents through whatever it makes every year
sure.
or whatever in December. And so, and I was just like, man, why not I just do this too, mm-hmm. you know? And so sure. I just set on a journey and I just puked a bunch of stuff out that I was just saying to people that would, mm-hmm. that was trying to inspire people all the time. And that's mm-hmm. kind of what led to the book is just mm-hmm. seeing the same problems, no purpose, no direction. A stat that came up when I was writing the book ended up being that 80% of people don't like their jobs. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's not that the jobs are wrong or bad. It's really just that we don't like what we don't see purpose in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's the big thing.
Right. So, you know, people that don't know their why, they don't yes. know why they get out of bed in the morning and
yes.
they're just walking around, you know, the TV show, The Walking Dead is more
yeah.
about, it's not only about the zombies, it's about the other side. It's
yeah.
about the people that really, you know, what they're doing to react to the thing. And I always talk about how life, you know, it's either happening for you or to you. And I like
right.
to believe it's happening for me.
Right.
And I, you know, when I get stressed out, when I get, you know, frustrated and I've got fears and I've got things going on in my life, I like to think I need to be grateful, number one, but I also feel like that I need to have my purpose and I always need to know why. My son and I had this conversation. You know, he's a big guy, he plays football. I said, there's going to be days where you're in practice, you're going to be doing things, you're not going to know, you know, what's going on, what's how it's affecting you, you're going to be in pain, but you need to know your why,
right.
why you're out there. Mm-hmm. And he always says, I love playing football, but I hate practice and I hate all the things that prepare for it. And I think that's what you do with this. You know, when I came to you, I know how to play the game. I know how to do what I do in my business world. But what I needed help with was solving the knowledge gap. Explain a little bit more about what that
sure.
means.
Yeah, so the knowledge gap is this concept. I guess I've coined it at this point, which mm-hmm. is great. I really
yeah.
need to like put some
sure.
Copyright to it or
mm-hmm.
something at this
right.
point. So, but it's this idea that everything you want to do in life
mm-hmm.
To be successful, whatever it is, whatever your goal, it's completely possible.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing holding you back from reaching that goal is this gap in knowledge. You just don't know how to do it yet. So that's why I call it the knowledge gap company, because that's what I help people do. We help them bridge the knowledge gaps in the areas that often would take them much, much, much more of their life to learn.
Right.
You know, because life's short, right? Why spend years to learn how to start a YouTube channel or, you know, how to sell better when you can just kind of skip those knowledge gaps with coaching? That's kind of the idea. So there's a thing called a knowledge tax. I heard on YouTube recently from this guy named Vin. I can't remember his last name at the top of my, but he does speaking. He's a really nice guy. And with knowledge gaps, you're taxed on the amount of income that you're making with your business often because of what you aren't doing. You know, what you don't know that you're not doing.
Sure.
Right? And so we want to help people figure those out quickly and get them to the next level. I mean, I was literally with a client yesterday who owns an insurance agency in town, and I was asking some questions. We were doing a team meeting, and we're like, okay, we're going to do some systems work today. So we're going to show you guys how to work together and communicate better, because salespeople communicate differently than business owners than the operation side of people, right? And I started asking some questions. I was like, okay, let's just go through each part of the day. What's your time sucks? We made a big list. And one of them, one of his top salespeople, I mean, he's having a 33% close rate, 80% quote rate, just really doing really well, would come in and spend an hour or two every morning getting leads offline and handwriting them. You know? And obviously hearing that is like, wow, it's 2023, what are we doing? And so just connecting them with the operations manager to optimize their revenue, right? To where she can take that off his plate so he can just go call 100 more people every week or something, right? So things like that, you know?
Yeah, it's just Yeah, you know, our audience here is kind of like the person that wants to get into either real estate or wants to get into short-term rental investings. They want to get into, you know, figuring out how to do it. And, you know, you're a owner of a property. You have a very nice property just close by here. I've been to it. I like the property. I love where it's at and everything. Tell us a little bit about being a short-term rental owner. What was the desire there? What was your reason behind that?
Yeah, you know,
and your brother's got, you know, one as well. You guys both
just
are
right down the street too. So I own one in East Knox. We picked it up there about 12 months ago at this point, so we're about a year in on it. Before that, we'd house hacked. My brother and I, and my dad went in and bought a house.
Explain that a little bit for people that
don't
understand.
So house hacking is literally just where you live in part of your home or duplex or whatever, and the other half or whatever you're renting out to pay your own mortgage and maybe your utilities and things like that. That's the idea of house hacking. So you're like living for free. I mean, you still got your expenses, but that's the idea, right? So we did that for about a year or two. Housing market, you know, blew up, and then our house almost doubled, you know, and we made no changes, right?
Exactly. That's a great business
thumbs up. Yeah, exactly. It was in a good spot because it was in South Knox before it revitalized. So we just, that's how we look. We're looking at where's the next place it's going to like revitalize. So East Knox seems to be the place based on the new baseball stadium that's coming in, and there's many houses being flipped right around where we're at. So anyway, so we invest in that. And the biggest reason is just we want the residual income effect, right? Just especially during the last 2 years has not been a great place to park money. You know, I like real estate better because you can at least with your time do something, get some sort of return, whereas the stock market up and down, up and down, up and down. And, you know, the cash flow is really the thing. And there's so, you know, I have an accounting degree and background, so the tax benefits of just having a short-term rental and having all the depreciation, having all the stuff, you're just getting way more cash for what, you know, you've invested, if that makes sense. So I like that. So well, the first year, you know, we're happy with where we're at. It could be better. We'll have things to improve, but yeah, let's, there needs to be, there's no point in owning a business if you're not building a residual stream where eventually you could have an exit plan or walk away. Right. Or you can just be, you know, do whatever you want, you know. I don't think I'll just sit
so
around, but
you pretty much self-manage it. You have someone who helps you with some marketing on that one side, but you self-manage it. What's that day? What's your day-to-day like? I mean, because there's a lot of people out there like, well, I'm going to jump in front of my Lambo and, you know, make my signs and whatever. You're not that guy. You're the other guy that's, you're running it like a business, and it's not flashing things for you. It's a good business model. But what does that day look like to you? I mean, in essence, I mean, what does your day look like?
I would call the rental about 5 hours a week of work.
Okay.
When you do it a good way, even on the self-management side of like what we're doing. And we have this company that does some stuff, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like they basically set some stuff up for us. And it's like 12 months in, you're like, man, that was really nice to start. But now it's like the second year and you kind of know what you're doing. It's like, is it really worth the 10% for the rest of my life? So we'll probably be switching at some point.
Sure,
but
absolutely.
It's not that hard. I mean, you're texting and updating people. You get the occasional phone call because no offense to the guest, but they can't put the key in right.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that whatever. Happens. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that whole thing that all the reviews are based on, you know, that's like the stuff they have problems with, obviously. Stuff with.
So we fixed some things, you know, and the instructions seem to be clear, but I don't know. People still seem to struggle with.
I say when people travel, they check their brain at the house. They leave it at
the
house.
They've left it at the house, right.
And they've got a lot going on. I mean, I've done it. I'll tell you a funny story in a minute about it.
Yeah, you know, so, but no, it's been good. So it's really about 5 hours a week maybe of stuff. You know, I'm going to run over there today because we're going to do a furnished finders or try furnished finders in the fall. Or excuse me, the spring, early spring, late winter, and I need to like measure the size of the back driveway to see if they can fit their trailers. Like, it's just like one of those weird things that, you know, do you want to pay someone a bunch of money to run over there to measure this? Like, I'll just run over there. It's only 5 minutes from here, so it's not that bad.
Right.
It's not that bad.
You're a hands-on guy is what I'm trying to get at. You know, it can be done.
Yeah.
I mean, you're super busy.
Yeah.
Again, I've seen your calendar.
Yeah.
You're a busy guy, but
one
property? You probably can handle it. Five hours, 6 hours, 10 hours a week, whatever. You know, there may be a week where you've got something else you're taking care of. But, you know, when someone's trying to get into this market, you know, and they don't want to use an expert like myself, they don't want to use a person like me, you know, I always tell people a lot of times that, you know, if you've got good systems, you've got good processes, you know, you've got good marketing and good branding, and, you know, going with Furnished Finders is a great way to get those midterm rentals. That's really important in our market right now. So for me, you know, I think when I see a guy like you who's doing it, and I know your mindset, you're going to want to scale at some point, you know, and at some point it does become worth it to go ahead and just pay that management company. A lot of times if it creates, like we've talked about, more profitability and we can increase your revenue and that sort of thing. So ultimately, you know, when you're getting into that business and that sort of thing, I mean, you really didn't, you know, you did it the right way. You jumped in with the house hack and you were renting out rooms and things. So a lot of people are not getting into it from that area. So I think that's really good that you came from that background, because you probably were doing your own cleaning and making sure everything was set up properly. So you've got hands-on experience with that.
Right, yeah.
And so when someone wants to get into that business, a lot of times they don't think about all the day-to-day things, you know, unclogging the toilets and that sort of stuff.
Oh, so yeah, no fun.
As an owner, you know, as an owner of your business, though, you really do have to treat it like a business. So when you're looking at, you know, today, you know, when I came to you, can we talk about my situation a little bit? Kind of way, you know, I came to you with a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge, a lot of expertise, and we're always talking about my situation of being Vernon, back it up, you know, because you know you're telling me, you know, we need to go back to some of the basics.
Tell me
why that's important, and I know what we've talked about, but a lot of times people go into the business and, you know, they as we call it, the paralysis by analysis is something we've used in other podcasts, and, you know, the whole idea of, you know, why you and why do I need it? I'm 53 years old and you're a younger fella. And,
yeah.
You know, why does a guy like me even need a guy like you?
Yeah, no, for sure. Boy, you know, there's so many reasons that we all need help and stuff, right? So we all overthink it, right? We all get in our own way. We all got our certain pedigree of strengths and weaknesses, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea of having a successful business by yourself just actually sounds like about the most stressful thing you could ever do, trying to handle everything and things that you're specifically geared not to be good at, you know? And I'm not saying you can't get good at things, but I am a big believer in Strength Finders, which is the Clifton Strength Finders test, and how we are, you know, for whatever reason, good at some things and not good at others strength-wise. When we have our certain strengths, and I think yours would be vision, you know, vision and, you know, just being in your element too. Like, you're just, when you're with people, you do great. Mm-hmm. And then it's when it's trying to go on the back end and clean everything up and kind of like get what's in your head out is difficult.
Absolutely.
And so needing someone to, having someone get that out and then building the structure too, because I think the reason people need help with this is the idea of building something that's scalable. It's a difficult perspective to kind of come from, because we're just trying to survive sometimes. And so having a third party just say, hey, let's just simplify the offer. Let's get some money coming. Let's do some stuff and let's build it out from the feedback of the client. And then let's build everything they need instead of just throwing a bunch of stuff together and then maybe not even using half of it, right? Mm-hmm. There's just better ways to do things like that. And I'm just a big fan of going a little bit slower so later you can do one thing, which is what we all want to be doing as business owners, just promote. Promote and sign up.
Sure.
That's all I want you to be able to do.
Right.
But there just has to be a certain foundation in place to do
There's
that.
There's a process, and it's been tough. I mean, I don't mind telling you, because number one, I'm busy.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've brought out things in me. You know, when we first sat down, you know, maybe a little arrogant, a little cocky, because I have a little bit of that. You know, imagine that. But I'm a, you know, everybody loves me because I'm a nice guy, but I do have a side of me that, you know, is almost like, well, I know what I'm talking about. But what I like about what we've done, and I think there's a lot of times, my problem with most business coaches and gurus, because I've been through some of this before, obviously. I've talked to other people, and I've actually sat in under some of these big folks' names and whatever, and some of these other guys that, you know, they just want to sell you a system, and they want to sell you something and get you out of their way and whatever. But what I like about what we've done is we've gone and we've done a deeper dive.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think it's important when anyone is doing anything, number one, in short-term rentals, we call it due diligence, doing your due diligence, doing the hard work to make sure that it's going to be profitable long-term.
Yes.
And in my business, it scaled so fast with the opportunity that I didn't have the pieces and parts in place to be able to support that.
Exactly.
So while we're here today and while I'm sitting right here in this podcast studio with you is because of what you bring to the table for me in that area. And I really appreciate that is one thing I wanted to say. And number two, you know, with this, you know, you can write all the books you want and you can do all the stuff that you're doing. And I think that's all great in what you're doing. But what I have appreciated most about what we're doing is just, there's some times like last Monday I came in and said, hey, it's kind of my time. So, and I just sort of shared my thoughts with you. I think it's super important. We all need a trusted advisor in our life. You know, we need somebody who's an expert who can help us get there. And my third thing is, you know, you got to have on really nice shoes to make $1 million deals. You know, I'm rocking the OnClouds today. You're rocking a really nice pair of shoes today. I love those shoes. So that's kind of my little funny thing I tell people whenever anybody asks me what you do. Well, I believe everybody needs a trusted advisor.
Yeah.
So you're my trusted advisor. To build that trust, I mean, it didn't happen the first day. A lot of it's happening in the last couple of weeks. So it's a process.
Yeah.
And so with what you're doing in your business, you know, it's super, super important, I think, for people to understand that sometimes you just need somebody to help you.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife can give me advice. I got business advisor friends. I got all kinds of people that gave me advice. But no one really has ever sat down and said, Vernon, are you open to listening to a suggestion? And you said something to me last week. That's tough sometimes for us to admit, right? So when I'm talking to you and what I'm dealing with, you know, on a daily basis is – I just need somebody to help me put it all together. So tell me a little bit about what you do to put it all together for somebody. Kind of go over that.
Sure, sure.
Because it's really important for people to understand that I've tried doing podcasting before. I've done a lot of things before.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They were not nearly as successful as until I found a good coach.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, I just, you know, and even myself too, like with just go even just kind of pulling a full circle on the knowledge tax thing, like I'm going to be using Vernon to help me out, just get my stuff set up a little bit more this next year to be better, because you know, we'll end up at a good spot, but we're probably maybe 30% lower than we would have been had we had some help at the beginning to make sure we had better reviews and different things. So we're kind of doing this blank slate thing, but and I think Vernon's going to help a lot too with that, which is going to be exciting. So I just want to put that out there, and I appreciate all the nice things you just said. That was so nice. Well,
it's all true.
I appreciate that. I know you're not just flirting. That's why it just means so much. It's so nice.
Right.
And that's how I like to do it too. I just like I don't know, when my wife always just says, man, you have some really nice clients. And that's just like what I'm always going for. It's just this this community, you know. It's like, I don't know. I'm just such a low pressure, just like, hey, like, if you want to, like, I'm good at stuff. So if you want to chat, like, we can't, you know, it's just such a open thing. And I just want people to have great results and a great testimonial, just like you're having right now, where it's like, oh, like, we're getting to where I really want to go. Because I do agree that there's just, like, I did a coaching. I spent, you know how much I spent on this one coach one time? Mm-mm. And then, no, you don't.
Because I spent a lot of money. I told you the other day.
I think we spent as a company, this is for a fitness company, when I was doing it. Start with some partners. It was like $30,000 for a coach, and they were awful. They did not do what they said they were going to do. They gave us some people. They hired some people for us that couldn't do the job they marketed for. And at the end, when we say, hey, we're really not happy with this service, we really don't want to pay you the last 10%, they threatened to sue us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, what the heck?
Right, exactly.
Like, you did a bad job. Why don't you care?
Sure.
You know, and it's just like that sort of money hungry, all I care about profit is just like the exact opposite I want to go for, and it's the culture I want to change. You know, so that's just to put that on there, I get it, and that's why I've designed it the way I have.
Sure.
So how we help people though, I'm going to be rebranding how I describe myself. You know, business growth consulting and coach is great, but I really think the revenue optimization like coach would even help even better, because what we do is just because of my background and startups and different things, I can just, if someone gives me exactly what they're doing, everything they have, their direction, vision, mm-hmm. all the stuff, values, why they're doing it, I can basically figure out where they should end up being and what they need to do in order to get there. Mm-hmm. And so we usually go through like four phases to do that. And the first one's what you're talking about right now, just getting organized mm-hmm. with everything, getting mm-hmm. everything really clear of mm-hmm. what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So when we go apply, we're not all over the place, stressed out, mm-hmm. lost, mm-hmm. forgetting, you know, losing information, whatever. Like one of the things people do, and I love my real estate clients, you know, and they're, and mm-hmm. all you realtors who are listening to this, absolutely. Some of you are good at this and some of you aren't, right. but like, you know, we have all of these contacts in these massive databases and mm-hmm. then we're not engaging with people on a personal level because frankly, we don't have time, right? We can't call everybody, sure. you know, and we're not like maximizing the work we've done for years. Mm-hmm. Right, and that's like, why would we go build the next 10 things if we're not maximizing the value of what we already have?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Sure. So we start there, right? We want to get organized. We need to multiply your time, mm-hmm. you know, because you're really busy. And so mm-hmm. the idea of taking on a new project that's before right. you make up the extra 10 or 20 hours with better systems seems unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. I want people to win.
Sure.
You know, and it's not sexy to sit back and slow down, mm-hmm. you know, and do all of your systems because they're so frustrating, mm-hmm. you know. I'm working on a service where we'll come in and do it for you, by the way.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Which
that's
will good. Be like incredible.
That's good. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Where you can just give us your stuff and we'll organize right. everything, which well, will be great. Cool. You know, I think that's mm-hmm. going to be a frustration. Sure. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I think with that is sometimes it's kind of like, you know, my frustrations in the past have been, I paid somebody to build me a website.
Yeah.
WordPress site. It has a lot of moving parts. I know nothing about WordPress. Well, it was put yeah. back in my lap.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what to do uh-oh. With this. So I just basically shut yeah. it down. I spent money on a big direct booking site.
Yeah.
And again, someone sold me on the idea of it. And then, you know, I have some people around me that, hey, I'll run your social media for you. I'll do this. I'll do it.
Right.
The problem is you got somebody over here, somebody over there.
Exactly.
So, man, bringing it all in-house under one name, one brand,
yes.
you know, one coordinator, coach, consultant, whatever word you
yes.
want to use.
Yes.
And creating that whole bigger purpose thing, you know. Yeah. I believe in the five purposes that, you know, that are out there that, you know, when I was in church for a while and in ministry for a while, I believed in those things. So it's the same with your life. You know, I know my why. I know why I get out of bed every morning. Yeah. I think I talked about that to you the first time we talked. My problem is the how.
Yeah.
Okay. Because yeah, yeah. yeah. I do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do it.
Yeah.
I'm very proactive in setting my calendar and doing those things. But sometimes when our life becomes reactive, mm-hmm. we have to create an opportunity by going and getting someone to say, hey, for me to be level to another level, I right. got to get out of reactive mode. Because yes. that's where I was at, you know, 5-6 months ago with something I was working on. You know, when during the pandemic, I was there and right. I was reactive. And when I find out a way to fix that, and then I can move to the next level.
Exactly, right.
So my first goal would be to tell anybody that wants to reach out to you today to talk to you is just, you know, just kind of lay it out there. It's messy, but you're not judgmental.
Yeah.
Sometimes things are a little messy, and sometimes messy. We need to put them out there and say,
they are
hey,
always messy.
Hey, Joe, looks, yeah. I mean, I understand it doesn't look great. And like I said, in my case, I was like, you know, I'm the expert. But really what you have done is you've got my creative juices flowing again and getting me to really focus in on
yes.
what I can do to make revenue right now, not a year, 2-3 years from now,
yeah,
building
right.
out this new big, oh, I got yeah. this great idea.
Yeah.
I have 1,000 good ideas.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
most people, entrepreneurs just have ideas. I'm sure you have ideas for your growth. But what I love about what we've done is we've actually zeroed in on to what we think is the most important thing.
Yes.
What I call the wildly important.
Yeah, cutting out the rest.
Exactly. And just kind of leaving the rest of it alone and just let's focus on this one thing right now.
Yes.
Because a guy like me needs that. I need
yes.
somebody to say to me, Vernon, let's focus on this one thing. I know you got 1,000 other people asking you to help you with other stuff, but let's focus on this one thing and let's make it good.
Yes.
So we can then move on to the next thing.
Yes,
so for me, that's always been, I don't call it a weakness, it kind of be a strength, or I guess it might be a weakness, but ultimately when we're building something for the future, we've got to have somebody, and I know that I'm looking at you now as we move forward with our business relationship, I'm looking at for you someone now who is actually just going to kind of help me take all this and let's try to figure out how to package it and how to build that brand.
Yeah.
You know, people call me the short-term pro, but I mean, I know what it is, but
yeah.
it helps when I can explain it to people.
Yes.
When I walk out to talk to people, I mean, that's the thing. What you've helped me do is, you know, you've helped me start figuring out, okay, these are the 5 or 6 things you need to tell people instead
yes.
of like being all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
it's almost
say
less
these
is
five
more.
Things or 4 things
less
or 3 things. less is more.
Less is more, right?
Explain why that is important.
So I think the main idea of like what we do for people is we're trying to build, in the process of building, because we're only 11 months in, a full end-to-end service where we can get people organized in what we call phase one, build out systems and processes to multiply their time so they can start focusing on working on the business and getting out of it being in the business. When we're in the business, we're like a hamster wheel running on this little wheel. But when we step off the hamster wheel and start working on the business, we can take a look at the entire hamster wheel and say, you know what, maybe what if we installed an engine? Do I ever need to get back on that thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really the goal of business ownership is to not have to be in the business and it runs for you and it works for you. So that's what we're trying to do in phase one is to basically get the bare bones of that. Now, it takes a while. It's not a flip of the switch, going to make it happen kind of thing, but that's phase one. Phase two is often just blowing up the revenue as much as we can with our current systems. So that way, because when we have money, we can reinvest into the next position. We can reinvest into the next service, right? But a lot of times our sales process is very inefficient. So we want to work on the sales process. We want to be better at the selling. A lot of people struggle with selling a certain brand or idea. They're selling a product or service. When I sold books door to door, I never sold books. I sold education and success. What parent doesn't want their kid to be more successful themselves? And that's actually what we sold. That's what we talked about the entire time. And then we just showed how this thing could help them get there. And so when we sell like that, people get excited. They want to buy. They want to help their kids. They want to do X, Y, Z. We want to get to the place where we get out of the hamster wheel lifestyle, right? Phase three was when we really connect the sales, the branding, the personal vision, the why into an actual content creation cycle. So that usually turns into a YouTube channel because it's the most scalable platform because it's Google-based. It's the number two platform in the world for search engine, And so we want to build that out. And so we go through the whole process of helping you figure out what your niche is, what you should write about, getting your first five episodes. And we even have services where we'll do the research for you, upload thumbnails, descriptions, YouTube descriptions, recording. We have the place for you to record. We have literally full service everything to where all you have to do is show up and record. Exactly what you're doing right now, right? Absolutely. Just show up, use your expertise, share it with the world, and then go back to focusing on revenue generating activities because there's this thing called shiny object syndrome, and this is where we just get too distracted by all the little things that businesses are required to have in order to be successful in 2023. But aren't your greatest strengths. So what we're trying to do is build it out to where you can be focusing on your greatest strengths, things that you enjoy doing, and get rid of all of the nonsense that's not only holding back your revenue, but frustrating you to no end because it is not your strength and not the reason you got into the business. Phase four, what I like to do is teach people how to personal brand. So you utilize the content and go do workshops, keynotes, go get interviewed on podcasts, sell their story, share their story in a way that drives lead flow so they can basically be the face of the business, get a bunch of leads, and when they have everything built out below, they can just push the leads through their system and generate revenue that way. Because I feel like that's the dream for most entrepreneurs is to go share what they're doing, inspire people, talk to people, and promote. And so that's where I like seeing it scale at that point. So.
Yeah, your network, I believe, is your net worth, as they say. And I feel like it's important that you get out into the community. And but again, being on message is super, super important.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I did it for years. I spoke and, you know, I did a lot of things for years. But what's great about it is what we've been working on is like, you know, taking it down a notch or two, you know. Right. So, because I don't have to walk into a room and be like, here's everything I know in 5 minutes. Saying, hey, come in and tell us everything we need to know to get to meet you better, get to know you better. And then you build the relationship there. So
exactly.
I think that's super important is what we don't always talk about sometimes is the network and the mm-hmm. the relationships that we build through this process.
Yes.
And I know that, you know, every time we walk through this office, we're building relationships with other people as well. So I think that's an element of what you're doing. And I think that's part of what we talked about is, you know, it's important for you to grow, you know, as, you know, me, you, as when I say you, we grow our network through these kind of activities and going out and getting in the community and doing those sorts of things. So getting into the community and building that network, you know, you told us a little bit about your give back earlier, about your wife's book and everything, but, you know, what's your why? What's your give back in your community, or what's your ultimate goal there?
So this will sound really interesting, and it's a while out, but I'm working towards it slowly because you know I coach you on focus on one thing, so one thing at a time, right? So it's a stair step thing, but I just said this on a different podcast I was on recently as I'm promoting this book and trying to just inspire people. I would like to build an alternative to college at some point. You know, just like a complete alternative that teaches you, you know, way more affordable, that you can learn what you need to be successful in life. All the stuff you're not going to get in schools, because, you know, for whatever reason, the way the system's set up is they want you to have a job, you know, and the statistics show that you probably won't like the job. You're mm-hmm. most likely not going to enjoy your job.
Right.
And I think it just comes down to being not sure where we're going to go and the purpose and, you know, again, missing out on skills. Like, we all have these dreams, but they seem to die in the back of our minds at some mm-hmm. point when right. quote unquote reality sets in. Mm-hmm. And where does that reality come from? The culture telling you.
Sure. Absolutely.
What's real and what's mm-hmm. possible, right? So having some sort of alternative where people learn the leadership, maybe the sales skills, the entrepreneurship skills, mm-hmm. Or just the skills in general to figure out what direction they want to go. So how's that going to formulate? I don't know. That's a long-term vision. Mm-hmm. But in the short term, I've got this foundation called the Knowledge Gap Foundation that mm-hmm. we've already started, that we're actively working to build out. But I want to go and do some free workshops, maybe a free conference for seniors mm-hmm. Right before they graduate to help them figure out purpose, direction,
sure.
and all that kind of things. Because I think it's one of the most underserved portions of life.
Absolutely.
You know, we have all of these systems in place to help people after they've sort of made mistakes. But what if we could help people make better choices? I think everyone would prefer not to make the mistake Absolutely. In the first place. So I call those knowledge gaps the same way. Mm-hmm. Sure. We could do something like that. That's kind of the vision. As the book comes out, when people buy it, there's a free workbook inside. When mm-hmm. they scan it, they're going to get a campaign that's mm-hmm. adding value to them right. as well. So the book mm-hmm. is building the how can we help people set better goals for their life. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be just I have literally so much free stuff that's coming with it, just because I want it to be a book that's life changing for people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's part of it too. And where that's going to lead, they're going to get invited to this thing called the Best Year Yet mm-hmm. conference. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a workshop the first year, because it's sure. going to be small. You know,
right. absolutely.
Whoever buys the book, I don't know how people show up. But,
sure.
but the idea of having, I used to have every year I'd go to this conference called Passions, a Christian conference, as mm-hmm. a college student. Mm-hmm. And it was just a great way to kick off the year, be in front of a bunch of motivated, awesome people. So I want to do something that's like a kickoff to your year, because mm-hmm. I feel like everyone, I did some stats earlier of like 90% of people or something give up on their New Year's resolution by February. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like the world is starving for community. Mm-hmm. So if we could have like this conference, Best Year Yet conference or workshop, you know, mm-hmm. in January, helps people set goals, helps them actually break them down so they're not overwhelmed, so they can actually go right. accomplish things. I just think we'd make the world a better place. So those are a couple things that we're working
sure.
on right now.
Absolutely.
You know, they're all theories until they become actuality, but we're working towards it. And even mm-hmm. if there's 5 people in January or 100 mm-hmm. Or 5 students in maybe mm-hmm. May, that's right. man, the red tape on that stuff, though, whew,
yeah.
that's been frustrating.
Oh, I understand. You know? Absolutely.
But, you know, those are some things I'm really trying to work
sure.
towards.
Well, that's great, man. I'm great. And I think it's super, super important that we give back to our community. And even in an offer like a book, if you have those extra things that people mm-hmm. can get a hold of that they didn't have to pay for, I think that's great.
Yeah.
I always think you should always provide more value.
Yes.
So, you know, I normally ask folks, you know, at the end of the podcast to leave us with a nugget. Well, I mean, your book's kind of your nugget that's coming out.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about what that is, and maybe do you have a place where we can buy it yet or anything like that, or is it going to be available?
You know, when this yeah. podcast comes out, you'll just go to joeignis.com/theproblemwithpotential mm-hmm. And it's going to have the Amazon link right there and why okay. I wrote the book
okay.
and you know, and all that kind of stuff. So okay. that's where you should go,
sure.
Right to the website, click the Amazon link, and you can order it there. The main idea behind the book is that I just go through this argument of how when we don't face problems and we put them in our closet, they have the potential to grow. Mm-hmm. And if we want to reach our potential, the problem in reaching potential is that it's difficult mm-hmm. and we have to face our problems head on. So it's a nice play on words.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, so I just take it through that dilemma and problem, and I really make the argument for why we need every single person to reach their potential in the world mm-hmm. because, you know, there's all of these statistics you can look up on like UNICEF.com and all mm-hmm. these different places, or .org, I think it is. And, you know, the percent chance that you even grow up with like education or healthcare is very low.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and what's amazing, there's people who grow up in those cultures who still are very successful people, but there's a lot of problems in the world. I'm just a big believer that if you are a winner of what I call the ovarian lottery, which I learned on mm-hmm. a mission trip in
right.
Nicaragua, which is part of the introduction to the book,
right.
You ought to go do something with the knowledge that you do have.
Sure.
You ought to go make the biggest impact that you can mm-hmm. in the pursuit of helping others. So
right.
I make the argument that if we really want to reach our potential, there's a breaking point mm-hmm. where personal gain stops.
Right.
And in order to reach our real potential, grow past maybe something that's uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
we have to have on the other side of it the fact that we're going to change people's lives and help people. Otherwise, right. why would you go through the pain?
Absolutely. Exactly.
And so I want to reframe the culture and the thought process behind why we do things to the eventual benefit of other people, and then help you go through all of the problems you have to suffer through, and essentially to overcome them, and their strategies and applications. And we realize and understand how our brain works in psychology. For example, when we have a negative experience, it's psychologically proven that you remember more negative experience than positives. It's why people are negative more often than positive, because our brain, it's a self-defense mechanism. We don't want to perish.
Right.
And so the negatives, it hurts. We avoid those as much as possible. Same thing with like rejection. Rejection feels like you're getting punched in the face.
Sure.
Same part of the brain, you know?
Right.
But like, I make an argument that there's certain social, you know, fears that hold us back, that there's actually no, you're not dying.
No.
No one's, you don't die if you're rejected.
Right.
But we feel like we're hurt so much. And I just feel like there's just so much, this need to be a part of what I call the herd mentality, to fit in. But if you think about the world changers, they're not, they don't, they're misfits.
Right.
They never fit in.
They never fit
in. They're different. And so, you know, the argument of just go for what you're going for, do what you feel passionate, called to do, and utilize your strengths. And I also make the argument that you don't have to be the person who's flashy up in front of everybody else. You may have those skills, but you might be a background person. You ever heard the story of Edward Kimball? Okay, so there's a guy named Edward Kimball back in the 1800s. And you've heard of the butterfly effect, correct?
Yes.
Edward Kimball, this little local pastor in a small town in, the United States, is walking by this shoe store in the 1800s, between church and home every single day, and he sees this shoe salesman, young guy, and you know, hundreds of times he's walked by, he finally decides to pop in there, talk to the guy, invite him to church. Guy says, oh, sure, I'll come to church. Guy ends up, you know, becoming Christian, becoming an evangelist and going and preaching, and he ends up meeting Moody, I can't remember his first name,
Moody
Bible College, yep, I think so, and then he goes to, you know, United Kingdom and meets another famous speaker who I can't recall, it's in the book, and then he comes to the U.S., starts speaking, then meets another guy, he starts doing a small group, and that small group leads to Billy Graham at 17 walking in and becoming evangelist and leading on to millions and millions and millions of people, you know, being evangelized, right? And the argument is that Edward Kimball was just as important as Billy Graham.
Right.
And I think the world and the culture wants to say, well, if you're Edward Kimball, you're nothing.
Oh.
And I think that's nothing. I think that's crazy.
Right.
I think without Edward Kimball, we don't have Billy Graham. And you can go back to all the positive things, right?
Sure.
We can have this positive effect. And even if it's that small little 30-second act of kindness, you actually make a bigger impact than you realize. Right. And I think people need to believe in that, and because there's a push in our culture today of nihilism, which is the idea of apathy, where nothing you do actually matters.
Right.
I think that's what's pushing a lot of our culture in a dangerous direction.
Absolutely. Good. So today, as we kind of close out this episode, if you give anybody like one nugget, like what would you be, what would be your nugget today? Like,
my nugget.
Yeah, what is the thing, if you could tell the audience anything today, what would you tell them?
So my nugget, this is a great question. Boy, I wasn't expecting your nugget question. Now let me think of it. Let me think of the nugget. You got a bunch of realtors on here. What do they struggle with the most? What do they struggle with the most? That's the actual question.
Getting attention. Like you said, they have a CRM full of.
Sure, let's do this. Okay,
okay.
I'll give a little piece of nugget towards that way, because otherwise it's too broad. In order to get attention, you need to stop looking good and selling that you're the best, and start selling your why.
Okay.
That's it. And if you sell why you're doing what you're doing, you'll do really, really well, because you don't need to sell to everybody. You just need to find the right people who agree with you, who care about your values, appreciate why you're doing what you're doing, and they'll work with you, because it builds trust. If we have same destination, same goals, same beliefs, there's immediate trust built, and we have that, people will sign up because they have a need. If you're a realtor, everyone's got the need of buying a house at some point.
Sure.
And if they have the need and a million options, they're going to pick the one they believe in the most.
Okay.
So the why, share the why.
That's good. I think that's super important. I really do. Today, how do the people get a hold of Joe?
Yeah, so if you want to get a hold of me, just go to joeignis.com.
Okay.
If you hit call, it'll call direct my phone number.
Oh, wow.
Pretty easy, right there.
That's pretty cool.
That's
access.
Somebody
needs access.
Pretty
that's
simple,
access. Yes.
You know? And then there's places to book meetings as well. If you just want to book a Zoom or book an in-person down at the office downtown, you can do that. But yeah, joeignis.com, you just put my name in. It'll pop up with a bunch of information of all the different things that we do, from podcasts, YouTube, you know, production, account management for social media posting, where we post everything for you, strategy for your content, organizing everything, and sales coaching, and the whole nine yards that we talked about, revenue optimization.
Sure.
It's all on there. That's where I would go.
Good. And I'm going to be a part of your book release. I'm excited about that. You know, I'm going to be part of that when I think I'm going to come and help you with one of those. And so I'm excited about that. So I really appreciate your time today. I appreciate you allowing me to use your studio every week and be a part of this great thing that you're doing. You know, I'm excited to see where this goes. You know, I really am. And so today, as we end this episode, you know, again, my name is Vernon Corum. I'm a realtor. I'm a short-term pro guy. That's what they call me. You know, I'm out there helping people basically with their investments and they're investing in short-term rentals. But ultimately, what I really, really want to do is I want to give back to my community, and I want to make sure that everyone understands that they need to love each other and leave a legacy. Thanks for listening.
And go Vols.
Cool. Yeah.